You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. Today, I have a guest. My name is Lynn, and my guest's name is Joe. And this show is going to be a little bit different than some of our other shows. Many times when we have a guest, we have various topic points that we like to hit. And pretty much Joe and I are just going to wing it today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being willing to talk about relationships with me.
No problem. I enjoy talking to you. And I like that we're going to wing it today.
Well, so many of the shows, you know, we're talking about sexual assault of children, and it's a difficult topic, and it's not fun and happy, and sometimes knowing in advance the key points that we're going to hit just kind of feels overwhelmingly sad, because we know we haven't gotten there yet. But with talking about relationships, we have really no idea where this is going to go.
No. Well, we do know that we both have dealt with past issues and struggles, especially, you know, abuse of growing up. And we were talking about how it affects our relationship choices and our relationships. So I guess we do kind of have a little bit of a guideline.
We have a hint.
Yeah.
So for listeners, basically what happened is Joe and I were sitting and having a conversation, and I said, this would make a great radio show. And he said, get the recorder. We were talking about relationships, and we were talking about who we're attracted to, what we're looking for in a romantic partner, and how things in our past that either we had or that we didn't have or that we felt we were entitled to, how those things affect who we look for and the kinds of relationships that we look for. And Joe, you were saying that you had read something that talks about how people look to, I guess, resolve past relationship issues in the new relationships.
Correct. The book I read, is it okay if
yeah,
I say it?
Yeah.
It's called Keeping the Love You Find, and I don't remember the author's name, but the premise of the book is basically that the relationship you have with your parents kind of sets the stage for what you're going to be looking for in relationships with people after you leave the home. And those relationship roles you have with your mom, your dad, whatever they are, whatever the issues are in those relationships or the strengths are, you're going to look for those things in your mate. So, like, one of the things I was telling you is, like, abandonment is in my childhood. And the book talks about how, you know, with whoever I date, I have an opportunity to work on abandonment with her. And it's definitely true, at least that I've found.
Now, does the book suggest that you're more likely to date someone who is likely to abandon you to try to fix that they won't? Or is it suggesting that you would seek someone that would not abandon you?
It basically suggests you're going to seek someone comfortable with your views that you grew up with.
Okay.
So, you know, this person may have tendencies that make you think of whatever it is, whether you have abandonment issues, like the person's going to leave you, or if the thing in the relationship that you picked up was you're going to abandon someone. You know, like you saw one of your parents. Like my mother, in her relationships, she was the one that had the scissors to cut the cord to the relationship.
Okay.
And so I saw that, and that's, you know, so I developed abandonment issues, but I got both of them. I got the fear that you're going to leave me, but I got the I'll cut the cord to the relationship before you leave me thing. So,
okay.
You know, how that works is I instill things to make whoever, well, I used to instill things to make whoever I was dating think, oh, he might be around, he might not be around long, so I need to hold on to him. So that takes care of my abandonment issues. They're always striving to say, I'll be here, I'll be here. But then I have to, you know, continue to act like I'm going to leave them so that I can get elicit that behavior.
Right.
So that's what the book basically says, is you're going to look for a person who will allow you to kind of fulfill that role. But you can also work on healing that. You can work with the person to overcome your abandonment issues or work on those abandonment issues. And that's what's going on in my current relationship, is where I'm working on my abandonment issues by, you know, I actually had to reveal to her, you know, I have abandonment issues.
Right.
And, you know, it was cool because she was like, I have abandonment issues too. I was like, oh, great.
So you're either going to cling together as the ship goes down, or you're both going to sever ties faster than the other one. Or you'll find healing, you know, or that bizarre middle ground that people say, gosh, that doesn't happen, and you'll find that healing.
We have been finding the healing. It's funny that you say that, because it's like, I mean, we still have the ships going down. We have like periods where we're both codependent and we're just clinging and choking the life out of each other. And then, you know, then after we realize we're choking the life out of each other, we run from each other in opposite directions. And, you know, it's fun. It's a dysfunctional, it's dysfunctional behaviors trying not to be, you know, dysfunctional people trying not to hurt each other with dysfunctional behaviors. And one of the cool things is we talk about it. We actually sit down and talk about, you know, how those behaviors affect each other. You know, how what she does affects me, and how what I do affect her. So it is, you know, the abandonment thing is definitely prevalent in the relationship for both of us. But yeah, I see that there are like 6 or 7 other things that she has that my mother has. And I really...
Both good and bad?
Both good and bad.
You're just seeing similarities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And, you know, it's... At first, it was kind of like, oh, really? But she's an amazing person. She really is an amazing person, and you know, this is someone God put in my life, and so I'm committed to the best of my ability to working through these issues, and you know, as long as God allows me to have this person in my life, you know, and that's one of the things I had to learn that dealt with my abandonment issues, because it was like when we first started dating, I was like, so how long are we going to be together? You know, that was one of the
first
questions.
You wanted to know,
when's
it going to be over?
You know, yeah. You know, how can I prepare? And
how can I break up with you before then? But enjoy the relationship as long as it lasts, right up until that last moment.
And, you know, she's doing the same thing because she has abandonment issues. She's like, I don't know how long you're going to be around. And so for, like, the first few months of the relationship, that was kind of like the elephant in the room, is who's going to leave who and when and how long and why. And then, you know, we kind of came to this realization that, why don't we just enjoy the relationship and, you know, not worry about when it's going to be over or how it's going to end or who's going to leave who. And I can't say that that's set in stone, because, you know, just last week I had a day where I wasn't okay with not knowing how long this relationship, because, you know, we haven't talked about marriage or engagement. We just got on the page of, are we going to take a vacation together? You know, are we going to go somewhere?
That's a big page.
You know, I mean, and I don't know, my control issues, though. I want to know when, how long are we going to be together, what I can do to influence the amount of time and protect myself from being hurt or left, you know. So,
and do you think she's doing the same thing at the same time, probably?
Oh, exactly. Yes, yes, yes. And you know, we talk about it. And the funny thing is, the things we see, we work on and we eliminate, mm-hmm, to the best of our ability. But,
well, I think what you guys have going for the relationship, whether it progresses to marriage or falls apart, you know, in 24 hours, is that you're both willing to say, I'm an imperfect human being, and here's what I know is wrong with me that I'm working on. And to bring that to the table. Because there's a lot of relationships out there where people, may know what they need to fix in themselves, but they're not going to bring that verbally, outright, confess it to another person.
That's hard.
So I think that's a really big thing in the relationship. Relationships I've had a couple of friendships that I found myself suddenly able to say something that I'd never been able to say honestly about myself. Mm. And once I had done that, I couldn't be around the person anymore.
Mm.
I was too afraid. You know, I had just revealed something to them about myself. And it wasn't anything, you know, perverted or weird. It was just something that I was working on, you know, my own issues.
Why
trying to make myself better.
Why did you have a problem seeing them again?
Because it was new to me to admit to myself that I needed to fix these things. Mm. It's not like my ego was in the way where I thought I was perfect. This was the first time I had addressed this issue. And I had seen, oh my gosh, I need to fix this. And the other person was like, hey, that's kind of new and big. And I was like, yeah, bye. You know, and these were just friendships. These weren't serious romantic relationships where we were both, you know, emotionally involved for a length of time. These were, you know, budding relationships, you know, friendships that could progress or not. And, you know, you and I've talked about, you know, step work, and there's like 12-step programs and stuff like that.
Mm.
And everybody always jokes, you know, admitting you have a problem is the first step. And for me, saying this thing out loud about my issue was the first time I really had heard it.
Mm.
And I couldn't believe that I recognized it, admitted it, spoke it out loud to someone else. I mean, those were four really big things that just kind of hit suddenly.
Wow.
And, you know, when it comes to me in relationships, that is, you know, I could be a brain surgeon a lot easier.
You and me both.
Because to be a brain surgeon, you have to go to school, you have to learn, you have to relearn, you have to be tested to make sure you learned. With relationships, people go, you're a girl, he's a guy, go ahead. That's just too big.
Yeah.
I'd like a little more direction, please.
Well, we get, like, social cues, you know. Our parents tell us, you know, what to look for, and then we see what our parents did. Like we were saying, we see what our parents did. We see what our siblings do in their relationships. We see what's on television.
Ugh,
and
that's
yet
scary.
We forget to take ourselves into relationships. We take all these other views into the relationship. Or I know I do. I can't say we.
We as people.
Yeah.
We do.
I take all these views into my relationship. And I did with this one. I was like, you know, the relationship started out as a friendship. And we were both real.
Right.
Until we crossed that line of, let's date. And so once we started dating, it was like two entirely different. I know I changed into an entirely different person, and so did she. And, you know, I guess we had stars in our hearts in our eyes. And I was trying to be who I thought she wanted in a relationship.
Okay.
And I think she was doing the same thing because, you know, her behaviors changed. And, you know, she was doing a lot of things that I guess she thought would enhance the relationship or that I may have been looking for.
She didn't ask you if you wanted these things.
No, you
didn't ask her, hey, is this the kind of guy you're looking for? Because I can
no.
be that. You just quote unquote intuitively, you can't see air quotes when I was on a radio show. But you in your mind said, okay, this is a dating relationship. This is who I have to be now.
This is a dating relationship. I have to pay for the movies. I have to pay for the dinners. And she was cooking these five-course amazing meals and, you know, just suggesting, let's go take long walks in the park and hold hands and things like that. And they're very good things at the beginning of a relationship, I guess. But, you know,
it's a lot
here
of work
we are
to maintain.
Way down the road, and there are no more five-course meals. But we do have like 3-course meals.
Are you counting desserts?
Yes. I mean, but, you know, we've kind of toned it down, and we've done less of those external things and more of the internal things, more talking.
More of the connecting.
Yeah, more of, okay, yeah, yesterday I was a little crazy. And, you know, I apologize. And you know, just looking at how we are traveling together. I guess that's the point. I mean, it's still new, it's still raw, it's still bumpy. I have no clue whether it's healthy or not. I just know that it's something that I'm working on, it being healthy.
Well, I guess the question would be, is it healthier than any relationship you've had before? And are you doing things that are healthy that you didn't know you would be able to do in a relationship?
Oh, yeah, I can say for myself.
So every relationship's going to have those moments where you're like, are you kidding me? Is this really what we're doing? You know, when you get into, you know, your Edith and Archie moments. Sorry, bunker reference. I'm old. But, you know, every relationship's going to have those nitpicky, everybody's off their game kind of moments. Not necessarily that you have to pretend to be something. But sometimes we get so caught up in, this is who I am, this is what I need. By the way, I don't even have time to consider what you might want or need right now. I'm just kind of, this is what I need, this is who I am.
Yes.
And it's all about me for the next 24 hours, and if you can't handle that, you know, hit the road. When what we really mean is, I'm feeling needy, I'm afraid you're going to leave me, I'm not demanding that you marry me and stay with me forever, but I'm lonely and I'm scared. And
yes.
And it comes across as, you know, I don't care, do whatever you want. Because if nothing else, I've learned about the human condition, when it comes to communication, sarcasm and jokes will always trump honest conversation. And they shouldn't.
They shouldn't. You know.
But that's what we've learned.
True. For the first time, though, like last week, I was right where you were talking about. I was very needy. You know, it's a stressful time for me. I'm dealing with a lot of new things, and I wanted to be with someone who made me laugh, and I just wanted to forget the stress of the week. And so, yeah, I was very codependent. I was very needy. And I wasn't sleeping right. I wasn't eating right. So I wasn't taking care of myself. So I wasn't exactly in a place where I could walk strong.
Right.
You know, I needed someone. I wanted someone to just, you know, be there with me. Let me know it's okay. Let me know that. But, you know, I got the calls out and I'm clinging, and I was scared and I was fussing and I was making a lot of noise and I was just being a complete and total idiot. And she let me know that she was there, and she continued to let me know she's there. And it's the first time I've been in a relationship where, you know, and I made sure I knew I was in a dysfunctional place, but healthy-wise is I tried not to throw anything in her direction that would cause her pain or hurt. I felt bad that I couldn't be there for her.
So you were feeling selfish but not abusive.
Exactly. I was very selfish but not abusive at all. And I felt like I was being abusive because I was selfish. You
right.
know, and that's part of my codependency. It's like, oh, no. Or my people-pleasing. I don't want to hurt you, but I'm hurting. But I'm sorry I'm hurting, because then I can't take care of you or anything like that. But she was like, I'm there for you. And, you know, she continued to say that, I'm there for you. And then we talked. And she let me know that, you know, she literally looked me in the eye and said, I care about you. And I don't want you to think that I don't care about you. Even when you aren't happy, you can talk to me. And that's healthier than any relationship I've been in. Because it wasn't a manipulated or a I'm taken hostage. I was just in a bad place and there was someone there for me.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot healthier. The behaviors that I'm... My behaviors, when they're not healthy, I talk about them with her. And we say, what can we do? You know, when my behaviors are not... When her behaviors are not healthy, oh, of course, I joke and I deflect because I have a hard time saying, you know, this is what I need.
Right.
And then I let it build up. And then I get fearful. And then... Right before I pull my hair out, I have one of those we need to talk moments. It's like, we need to talk. And I was like, you know, this is how I feel. I don't know if this is, you know, the committee in my head telling me these things are going on, or these are observable behaviors that I'm witnessing. And, you know, because sometimes I can see something and write something completely and totally different into it. You know, she's putting soup in a bowl and I'm thinking, oh, she's packing lunch for another guy. Where'd that come from? you know, that's the
especially
abandonment.
Especially since real men want steak and not soup. But, you know, I'm with you.
But, you know, that's the abandonment. And so, yeah, it's bumpy, but, you know, I'm giving it the healthiest shot I can.
Yeah.
And, like I said, the healthiest thing I can do is work on myself and not try to fix her or
expect her to fix you.
Exactly.
I mean you want the support, you want the encouragement and the support, but it's not their job to fix you.
No, it's not her job to fix me. And we were talking about that a few minutes ago, how I was saying that, you know, one of the behaviors I'm looking for in my partner is when, you know, I'm heading to that place where I'm not exactly the nicest person or I'm living in denial. I'd like a heads up, you know, like, Hey,
Joe, see that road you're going down? That's not pretty.
Yeah. And you know, we were, and that's how we got on this topic.
Right.
And you were telling me that may be, not the greatest behavior or not the greatest thing to want.
I was saying that can be what we were missing in our childhood. Like, for me, I grew up without a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 5'2 and a half. And as shallow as this is, I would not date a guy that was shorter than 5'7.
That's
because
shallow.
It is. It is really shallow. Because there are some fantastic guys out there that, mm-hmm. you know, 5 foot to 5'5", whatever. One of the things I'm bringing from my past is, as a little girl who grew up without a daddy,
mm-hmm.
I want a man who feels bigger than me.
Mm.
I dated a guy that was 6'6". That was just absolutely ridiculous. That looked like circus performers. that was just awful. He was a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I caught a glimpse of us walking through a mall one time in a mirror across the way, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's like 2 feet taller than me. This is just weird. Not really, but it looked like it, okay? But what I'm bringing from what I was missing in my childhood is the feeling of being secure, physically protected.
Mm.
And, you know, I've had some friends that were absolutely wonderful guys, and the one guy was 6 foot tall, and I would never consider dating him because to give him a hug, which I did, he was my mechanic, a wonderful mechanic, I'd give him a hug and I thought I was going to break him.
Mm.
And I'm not a big, strong, powerful person, but my child self that I still carry with me as a 48-year-old woman wants a man who physically feels safe. Like, I can just snuggle up to him and be protected.
Okay.
And, you know, again, yes, that's shallow. But sometimes knowing why we need what we need is good. For example, I know a lot of women that I connect with intimately, wonderfully on planes that I can never connect with a man. And I have no interest in dating them or having a sexual relationship or romantic relationship with them because they're female.
Right.
Is that shallow?
No.
That's, you know, I'm looking for what I want. And saying the guy has to be 5'7" or taller is one of my criteria. And 5'2.5", okay, why does he have to be 5'7"? Because I like wearing heels and I still don't want to be taller than him. Not that I put a lot of thought into this, but...
So, okay, besides height, what else? What's something you think from your childhood that you may take into it? I'm taking my abandonment into my relationship. What's one of yours?
Somebody who knows hard physical labor. And again, this may seem shallow, but... and no offense to people in the technological world, there are some amazing, gorgeous, caring, compassionate, wonderful human beings that are in the technology fields.
That you won't date.
That I would go out with you, but you have to understand, I need, and I don't care if that's what he does for a living, if on the side he does something else. I like a man who knows what hard work is. And I don't care if, you know, he can build me a little wooden toolbox. I don't care if he can, you know, rewire the electric or the plumbing in my house. If he can fix my car. Just somebody who understands hard physical labor is very attractive to me, because with a non-existent father in my life, I always imagined that my dad would do stuff if he was with me.
Okay.
Okay. And at my age, doing stuff meant raking the yard together.
Okay.
Painting the house together. Taking a walk together. Physical interaction.
Okay.
It didn't mean sitting and, you know, playing on the computer together. Now, granted, computers weren't around back then. But even now, I don't consider two people spending time together doing some kind of computer activity as... physical activity. But that's, again, my 3-year-old self decided what a daddy was. And ironically, a lot of those things that I made up in my mind of what a daddy was is what I now look for and find attractive in a man.
What we were talking about.
Here's a really silly thing, and everybody can pick on me. A man who wears a watch, there is something about that. Do you know why? Because daddies wear watches. And daddies have to be places on time.
Mm-hmm.
And daddies are important, so they have to know what time it is, so they know what else they have to go and do. Ironically, I can't be on time to save my life.
I was going to say that.
But you understand, in my mind, a daddy does that.
Okay.
So... for everyone listening, does Lynn have a daddy complex? Absolutely. Am I looking for a man old enough to be my father? No. I'm not looking for someone to be a father to me. I'm looking for someone to be what I envisioned a man was. Because, see, I only had my brother and a grandfather and, you know, whoever happened to be around in our life.
Right.
Many of these men sexually assaulted me, so they weren't men to me. They were monsters. They were mean people. That's not what a man is. You know, a man is not somebody who hurts a child and gets away with it.
Not at all.
A man is somebody who steps on your toe and says, I am so sorry I stepped on your toe. Let me see your foot. Do you need me to carry you? I mean, a man steps up.
A protector.
So, no, it's not daddy issues. But in my mind, I didn't know what a man, what a grown, healthy relationship man looked like, so I made it up in my head. So somewhere out there, there's a guy that's like 5'7.5", who always wears a watch, whose hands are always dirty from every project he's on, thinking there's no girl for him, and he's got a thing for short chicks with lots of hair. And if you're listening... you can contact me through Facebook, send a private message. No, this isn't a dating site. But like I said, many of the Stop Feeding the Predator shows are just so overwhelming with such big information. And yes, psychologically, growing up without a dad and the only men in my life sexually assaulted me changed my perception of what men were, of what healthy relationships look like. So I can either laugh at the fact that a guy wearing a watch totally turns me on, and I don't care how tall he is, what he weighs, what color, nothing. If he's wearing a watch, I'm like, ooh. But that's... everybody listening, I told you, this is not a normal show. Joe's sitting there trying not to laugh because at some point he's going to want to talk again. But I embrace the part of me that needed to, in my head, manifest a male role model. I didn't have a man to look up to, so I created one in my head.
See, I think you would benefit from reading that book, Keeping the Love You Fine.
Well, I think you'd benefit from wearing a watch. I'm just saying.
See, here's my thing about the watch, and I don't want to say this because
go
ahead.
I don't
want to rain on your parade.
Rain on my parade.
With cell phones, the use of a watch is like, there's no reason.
I
love watches, and I have a watch collection, but, you know, I have a cell phone.
I have seen a lot of men with very expensive cell phones who were still wearing watches, and I remember them. Okay, for those of you who don't know, poor Joe was just taking a sip of tea and almost spit it across the room. Sorry. You know better than to drink when I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Only drink when you're talking.
I will try that. But there it is, like we were saying, relationships, looking at your parents and completing what you need to complete.
Right, finding what was missing in my life.
And then having the opportunity to work on that. So when you find this man who emanates an aura of protection, and, you know, you guys kind of connect and communicate, because I'm sure communication is important to you as well. And you notice that the guy works hard. You know, he's not all, you know, he looks like he's been working hard, and he's wearing a watch. You're going to be open to, you know, talking to him, and then you're going to get into that part where you guys are going to have to fix the broken part. Not fix the broken parts, but...
Find them. Define them.
Define them and learning how to navigate them.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's the fun part of a relationship. That's the commitment thing you keep trying to beat into my head. Commitment.
For anybody who's listening, Joe and I are not dating. So when I'm beating commitment into his head, and when he's talking about dating a girl who has issues, we're not dating each other. Because we totally could fit and still say the exact same things.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this for clarification.
But, you know, the commitment thing that
right.
you talk about, and... I mean, like I said, for years you've been putting a lot of really good questions to me, and it's caused me to look at a lot of areas of my life. And, you know, before I got in this relationship, I talked to you a lot about, you know, getting into a relationship and commitment and what I expect and what I'm looking for. And you got kind of very motherly. In the way you were like, okay, make sure you do it this way, make sure you do it that way, and you have to treat her this way, and you have to be the kind of guy that opens doors. Didn't you say you like a guy who opens a car door?
Absolutely.
Or opens a, and so you were saying all those things, and you know, it was cool that I had someone to talk to before I went into the relationship, and even when we hit our first major bump in the relationship, you were one of the first people I talked to about it. And you listened, and that was really cool, and I've never thanked you for that, because I sat there, and I was in a pretty bad place, because, you know, my abandonment issues was like, oh my God, we've only been together a few months, and here it is, it's over, and, you know.
I didn't get to break up first.
No. And you know, the thing was, I didn't want to break up, I just was like, I don't know how to handle this.
Right.
You know, because the normal reaction is, this is painful. Bye. You know, I've seen that. That was that's what I saw my parents do. You know, when things got painful or annoying or hard, they separated. And so, you know, that script was playing in my head as, okay, here it is. And the cool thing was, you kept saying commitment. Well, if you guys were married, you wouldn't be thinking about this, would you? Marriage has got nothing to do with this. So you're just going to walk away, huh? No, see, you don't understand. So I have to thank you for that. You know, I sat in my living room and you talked to me and helped me understand my thinking.
So you're thanking me for imposing my views of what a man is on you? Because
yeah,
you realize
I guess so,
that's all
huh?
I was doing.
Yeah, you were, weren't you?
You know, I'm when I'm talking to you about your relationship stuff, many times I put myself in her place.
You did, too. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will say, well, is it possible she's thinking this? Or
yeah.
Have you considered she might be feeling this? And you're like, no. I was busy being upset.
Yeah, because I remember you said something, and I can't remember exactly what, but you had put yourself in her place, because I told you what I did, and you were like, well, could she be possibly feeling something? And I disagreed because, well, I was thinking like a man and not like a woman. I was like, well, why would she think that?
Well, when you're a guy, that's what we expect from you.
So, but yeah, I'm appreciative of that. But, you know, we got through it. We continue to get through these things. And even today, you know, even though there's no real issues now and things are good, we talked about relationships, and you were open to talking about relationships and even doing a radio show on relationships.
Well, we were just having too much fun with it, and I was like, you know what? So many
yeah.
people could benefit from this. And again, talking about sexual assault as children is a hard thing to do. And it makes us different people than who we would have been if we'd grown up without being sexually abused.
Right.
So we either embrace that we're different, or as the phrase goes, we're off.
Yeah.
And we embrace it, and we overthink it, and we analyze why we do what we do, when we do, how we do it. And then usually we just go ahead and do whatever the heck we want anyway. And we end up with the same results that we had the last time. And then we remember why we analyzed and overthought and decided we needed to change certain things, you know.
Yeah.
And as much as I look for a protector in a man, I refuse, and this is the growing up without a father, I refuse to be told what I can and cannot do. Which is something that a father would have done. You know, you can't ride your bike in the street when there's a fire truck coming. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. I want to see the lights. You know, I do not want someone to control me.
That makes sense.
And I don't want someone to rescue me, because if you are always rescuing me when I don't need rescuing anymore, what is your job? You know, I told my daughter that. I said it's okay to have friends who rescue you, but do not get in a relationship with a man because he rescued you from something. Because when you become the strong woman that you are, again, there will be nothing for him to do. So either he will create reasons for you to need rescuing, or he will leave.
That's a good point. That's a really, really good point. So what happens? What do you think happens to people who, you know, one of them is, say, out of their first year of recovery, they say they're in year two at AA, and they meet someone who's got like 8 years, and they're not exactly completely and totally sane, but they're out of the 13th step category. And so they meet, they communicate, they you know, he's wearing a watch. You know, she cooks 5-course meal, they have fun, they go out together, but she's still you know, every now and then she kind of like plants a seed or helps him, you know, because she's a little bit further down the path. She's not rescuing him, but he's not exactly, you know, he's in his second year. He's still a little.
Well, there's
what happens when he's at year four and he's a little bit more awake, or year five, he's out of the 5-year crazies and he's a little bit more awake.
Well, there's a difference between rescuing and educating.
Mm.
And for people who are listening who don't know, 13th step is basically you've gone through the 12 steps of a 12-step program, and the 13th step is, hey, you're cute, let's go out.
Within the first year, before
right,
year.
Right, before your first year of sobriety is up, whatever you're being sober from. There's a difference between rescuing and educating. And if someone is rescuing, they're going to help you and make sure that they look good doing it. That's a rescuer. Someone who educates you is someone who's going to pass on knowledge that they've gained and hope you can use it. Good luck with that. So whether it's, you know, 2 years in, 5 years in, 10 years in, when you're spending time with someone who, I use the word enable, but not like a bad thing. I'll use the word allows instead of enable. Someone who allows you the freedom to make mistakes, but offers you the education in hopes that you won't. You know, that's a friend. That's somebody who's looking to educate you. A rescuer is somebody who says, oh, Joe, you know, we get along so good, and you haven't had good luck with relationships, and you're 5'7". Can you put this watch on, and let's take a walk down where I'm going to make a 5-course meal? You know, that's a rescuer, is where I keep you from enduring any more relationship issues because I'm here, and I'm wonderful, and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's there are people that rescue, and it can be a female to female, and I don't mean a romantic relationship. I mean a friend who says, you know, oh, come on, you know, I know you had a bad time with that guy, but come on, let's go, and I'll make it all better. And then, you know,
the relationship grows to where she's always making
right,
it better. Yeah.
Right. You know, and when we were little, sometimes our parents did that. You know, you had a bad day at school. That's okay, I'll make you some ice cream, you know, a special dish, and let's just have some snuggle time at home and watch TV, you know, and next day it's
that's
okay.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So
you
don't want a guy who's a rescuer, you want a guy who educates from time to time.
Educates and protects. And by protects, I mean, if there's a thunderstorm, I'm totally curling up on his chest, like that cat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the cat, Cleo and Mark Anthony, the bulldog and the little
kitten? Yeah, he would scratch you.
And that
he would.
Bulldog was barking his head off at that little kitten. Okay, that's totally me. Okay, I am that little kitten. I'm like, I don't care how much you bark. I don't care how big and tough you are. If there's a thunderstorm, I'm curling up in your fur, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Well, so the protection.
And not a, I mean, I've never read 50 Shades of Grey. I have no interest in it. But I'm not looking for someone to control me because I'm working on doing that myself.
Yeah.
And some days are a lot easier to control me than others.
That's not healthy.
I was out with a friend the other day, and we were at a steakhouse, and they have peanuts, and you can just throw the shells on the floor. And my friend was throwing the shells on the floor, and it just made me nuts. The OCD in me went nuts. So when he stepped away from the table for a while, I went to another table, and I scraped up all the peanut shells off their table, and I put them on my friend's seat. I'm like, there. There's your peanut shells.
Well, obviously your friend was doing that to get a reaction out of you by throwing the peanut shells here and there and to and fro.
Yeah, because he didn't even look where he threw them. He just looked at me.
And threw the shells.
And threw them, you know. So, you know, today, putting peanut shells all over my friend's seat, you know, I was an out-of-control 4-year-old. But... some days are easier than others to control myself.
You know, you mentioned the 4-year-old. That's another thing, is I realize that my inner 4-year-old, my inner child, I bring into the relationship. The safety, the wanting to be protected as well. I'm a man, but I still want to be protected.
Right.
Nurturing, companionship. You know, that little kid in me still needs those things and still wants those things. And the cool thing that I've seen is sometimes her inner child, my inner child, kind of just have fun together. Like, we'll make cookies together.
Right.
That's so cool. Or we'll cook together, or we'll go out and play in the woods together. I mean, just play by the creek, throw rocks across the water, and just laugh and giggle and say stupid things. So, you know, that I think can be healing.
Yeah.
To the inner child. So, I guess, you know, finding someone whose inner child works well with your inner child.
Yeah. Now, you've already started on the topic that I want to head to next. We've got about 15 minutes left, but you're already going there, so I'm going to nudge you a little further. So, what does a healthy relationship look like?
To me?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone today about a healthy relationship, and we were kind of joking, so this is a joke. I was saying, well, you know, she would never have to ask me what it is I need, or what. She would already know these things, and, you know, there'd be no problems. That would be the healthy relationship. And he just looks at me, and he kind of laughs. But, you know, really, a healthy relationship to me, the first thing is we're both working on ourselves. We're not trying to control each other in any way, shape, or form. We're respectful of each other. There's communication. There's honesty. You know, honesty has to be in the relationship. Trust has to be in the relationship. Communication has to be in the relationship. And respect, self and of other. Those four things have to be in the relationship. That's a healthy relationship. You know, if I respect her, if I'm honest with her, if I communicate, and when I mean communicate, not just, I'm hungry, have you cooked yet? But, you know, there's something on television tonight, would you like to watch it? But, I mean, like, communication, like, my fears, my hopes, my dreams, real communication, who I am. Like you were saying, if I tell you who I am, that's all I got.
Yeah.
I want to be able to tell her who I am. That's all I got. You know, I can't control how she responds to it, you know, because some parts of me, I don't even like.
Right.
So she might be like, whoa,
right.
Dude, this chair is not a clothes rack, you know? But, you know, communication is important. To be able, to be comfortable, to be able to come to her and say, hey, look, you know, last night when you said how you felt and that you thanked me, I really appreciated it. Being able to be comfortable of affirming her and her affirming me, you know, so communication's important. Respect. Trust. Gotta be trust. Like we were talking today, I was saying how trust and the levels of commitment kind of correlate for me. It's like, you know, I can only commit to the level of trust that I have.
Right.
You know, the more trust I have, the more of a commitment I can make. And, you know, that's probably part of my, you know, well, it's part of my growth. You know, my inner child was damaged. I grew up in a dysfunctional home. There was abuse. So I have trust issues. And I can only commit as far as those trust needs are met. And she's meeting my trust needs, and I'm being able to commit more and more. Now, is there fear with the commitment? Oh, yeah. Who's going to cut the cord first? You know, that voice always comes in, and I mean every day.
How big can this relationship get before the cord gets cut? Let's amp this up.
And see, that's another voice that I hear. So, oh, what happens if you're madly and totally, you know, running through a field of flowers and slow motions in love, and then she cuts the cord? Yeah. You know, and I can come up with 1,000 different things to have fear, but, you know, that's not healthy. So the healthy things in a relationship for me are trust, respect, honesty, and communication. What about you?
I'm just looking for a dude with a watch. I could even give on the 5-7 thing if the watch is nice enough. I'm just being playful because I have to. Because the idea of a relationship is still scary to me. And if I can make a joke about it, it takes off some of the fear.
So he have to have a sense of humor then, too, huh?
No, he doesn't. Because my...
Come on,
I equate myself to being like Gracie Allen. You know, I'm a very literal person. And sarcasm sometimes escapes me.
Sometimes?
Okay, sarcasm most often escapes me. Is that better? I can't say always, because occasionally I get it. But... You know, I was in a relationship for 4 years and did some really healthy things in that relationship. But the few unhealthy things I did trumped it so bad.
What were the healthy things?
The healthy things were telling him how I felt. The unhealthy things were letting him tell me that he didn't give a crap.
Oh. So communication... On your part.
Communication. I'm not going to share that story. There was a story that like totally defines it, but I don't think it's appropriate to share.
Okay, another healthy thing in that relationship.
Other healthy things I did was I appreciated him for who he was, mm-hmm. and not what he did for me. The unhealthy thing is that he would do things for me. Mm-hmm. And I would thank him and be very appreciative and then criticize how he did it.
So that's something you're going to kind of look for in the...
But if this makes up for it at all, he would do nice things for me that I didn't ask and I was appreciative. And then later he would say that I made him do those things. So, you know, we both had the unhealthy, and it's really a shame that the unhealthy was, I don't know if it was bigger, it was more in your face. The things that were wrong enough that you couldn't get past it. Mm. Kind of like, you know, if you've got a dam, you've got some leaks, but mostly the dam's holding back. So what the dam's holding back is the good part of the relationship. The leaks are the bad part. But when the leaks look like Niagara Falls, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how much the dam's holding back. The leak is beyond, you know, the good.
Hmm. So, you know, I guess we both have a lot of growth, we know. We both need to do, and it sounds like, you know, we're taking note of those things, you know, so that we can have better relationships and not be such a wear and tear on those.
Not torment other people. And that's one of the biggest things of me looking for a relationship. Mm. I'm not in a place that I believe is healthy enough yet. Mm-hmm. I will be someday, but right now I simply don't want to torture a man until I get myself to where I feel that I'm at a healthy place for a relationship. You know, could I enter into a relationship today with someone? Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Could that be a you know, till death do us part relationship? It absolutely could. But I know of myself personally, when I am in relationships in the past, when I'm in relationships, I tend to let my issues slide and focus on him. Mm. And this is a very good time for me, since I'm not in a relationship, to take care of me, to fix me, to acknowledge, you know, what's the big deal with the watch, Lynn? Get over it. It's a watch, you know? What if he was wearing a bracelet? What if it wasn't a watch? What if it's a bracelet? Yeah, I don't
know. Is that a deal breaker? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of disco 70s feel. Is he a car salesman? No offense to car salesmen, but, you know, you get the stereotypical three-year-old mind of a guy that wears a bracelet instead of a watch. So I'm battling with the three-year-old's expectations of a man.
Well, you are. You know, I like that point. before I got into this relationship, I ended my last relationship in 2011 because it had become too dysfunctional. She was caretaking more than she was caretaking, and she was not focusing on any of her needs. So she was completely and totally lost to herself and more focused on keeping, you know, she was rescuing me. She was taking care of me. She was.
I was going to say that if you
was,
didn't. So
it was.
Thank
it
you.
Was. You know, choking me, and you know, I kept saying, "Hey, look, you know, go do some things, enjoy life. I'm good. You know, I'm all right. You know, I had just gotten into recovery. You know, really deep, and I was like, you know, I'm going to step over here and do my recovery. You know, you can join. You can go to, you know, the Al-Anon, and." She didn't want to go to meetings. She just wanted to make sure my life was good. And after about a year of it, you know, like in 2011, I was like, hey, you know, I have to let this go. And I took the time after we ended the relationship to look at a lot of things. And I thought I went through my script of my relationship issues and behaviors with a fine-tooth comb. And it wasn't until God put this person in my life, because, you know, I definitely was not, I mean, I wanted a relationship. I was like, I'm tired of going to movies alone and going to things alone. And, you know, and God plopped this person right in front of me. And I, you know, like I said, when I first saw him, I was like, I'm going to end up in a relationship with you. I know it. But I don't know how that's going to happen. And I'm not going to force the issue. I'm just going to continue to do what I do. And if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And, you know, it was meant to be because it happened. And, you know, I didn't force it. Like I was saying, anytime I think I know where I'm going in this relationship and I'm trying to do things, God completely changes the script and I'm completely, totally lost. And I love it and I hate it at the same time. Because it lets me know God's in the relationship, but it also lets me know that I'm powerless and that He's in control. And all I can do is work on myself and have faith that He wants the best for me.
And that is a wonderful segue to the last thing I want to talk about. We only have about 3 minutes left. We usually end the show with hope. And I think a lot of this show, I think we've expressed a lot of hope.
Yes.
Basically, we're all damaged human beings, but there's somebody out there for us.
Yes, there is.
whether they're damaged in the same way or they're damaged in a different way, you know, there's other people who can relate. Friendship, romantic relationship, whatever, you're not alone. And the thing I want to emphasize for the last 2 minutes is, regardless of what you've been through in your life, whether you were sexually assaulted as a child, whether you were an aggressor as a child, if you were sexually assaulting a younger sibling or whatever, because of what you learned from what you saw, what you experienced, whatever, please know that you are lovable, that you are worthy of being loved, and that you're capable of a healthy love in return. You know, I struggled a lot for years thinking that, you know, there was so much wrong with me, and I wasn't worth it. I wasn't lovable. And imagine a 3-year-old saying to you, I feel like I'm not lovable. Of course you are. You know, I don't care if you're goofy looking. I don't care if your hair's silly. I don't care if you're sticky. I don't care if you smell. You're worthy of love, and you're valuable. And I don't mean human trafficking. I mean, you know,
we're
I mean,
valuable and lovable.
Yeah, you yes. have worth. You have something that this world needs, and that's why you're here.
And there's another person who'll be able to see that, and you'll get to work on all those fun issues with that person. Sometimes it'll be a physical, intimate relationship, maybe marriage, or it could be a really strong friendship.
And most often, it's going to be somebody that makes you kind of crazy. and brings out the parts of you that you have to fix and that you can't hide anymore.
But you will love it and you will fill up.
And we're out of time. But I want everyone to know that I appreciate you, Joe, being here, sharing your information, sharing your pain.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Lynn.
And I've revealed all kinds of things. Guys with watches, please don't start sending me letters. But if you're 5'7" and a hard worker, you know, a private message is fine. This is Lynn, and you have been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. And I'd like to remind everyone that healing starts here.